Well, we're going to take a few moments now to look at a piece of Ross Perot's legacy, third parties. The Texas billionaire died yesterday at 89, and he was one of the most successful third-party presidential candidates in American history. Perot ran against Democrat Bill Clinton and incumbent Republican President George H.W. Bush back in 1992.
I was not put on the ballot by either of the two parties. I was not put on the ballot by any PAC money, by any foreign lobbyist money, by any special interest money. This is a movement that came from the people. This is the way the framers of the Constitution intended our government to be, a government that comes from the people.
Perot speaking in the first debate in 1992, he ended up with 19% of the vote in that election, which was won by Clinton. By comparison, no third party or independent candidate got more than 3% of the vote in 2016. Joining us now is Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Hi, Julian.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about Perot's run in 92. First of all, what made him so appealing to voters that he got 19% of the vote?
Well, I think there was an anti-incumbent mood that was still in the air, and he was able to capitalize on that and talk about deficits and debt to raise his stakes during a recession. But he also understood it was the era of cable television. It had come, and he uses it to his advantage. He announces his candidacy on Larry King Live on CNN. He has infomercials.
Yeah, he had a 30-minute ad, I remember, one night on TV.
Yeah, that looks like a show, and
right.
He sells his ideas, and he does them as if they're a TV show. So he really understood how the medium was offering new opportunities to speak directly to voters.
Now, he lost, but he did have a pretty big impact on the way we conduct our democracy, didn't he?
That's exactly right. Even though he doesn't create a new era of third-party politics, he does help lay the foundation for cable-era politics and thinking of new formats to reach voters. So even when you see candidates and presidents use Twitter today, you can draw a line between that and the infomercials you were just talking about, where candidates just avoided all filters and spoke to voters themselves.
Do you think that Bill Clinton became president because of Ross Perot's candidacy?
It's unclear. Political scientists debate that. It looked like he would have won even if Perot was not in the race. But there is evidence that Perot didn't help, and he raised this issue of high deficits, which really haunted the Reagan and Bush administrations.
Okay, well, let's talk about another famous third-party candidate, and that would be Ralph Nader in 2000, who ran in the Green Party. Here he is speaking on CNN before the election.
It's often been said the only wasted vote is the vote for someone you don't believe in. Historically in our country, the great surges of justice have come from people voting their conscience, their hopes, their dreams. That's what I'm confident our supporters will do.
Now, everyone remembers what happened there. The election went to the Supreme Court. It was very close in the state of Florida. George W. Bush was the winner over Al Gore. But Nader got less than 3% of the vote. A lot of people still think that he is the reason the race turned out the way that it did.
Right. And Ralph Nader's given third-party candidates a bad name. And in states like Florida, which was decisive in 2000, that small number of voters who he was able to attract probably were taken away from Al Gore and could have very well cost Democrats the campaign. So that shows that when third-party candidates are not really going to win electoral college votes, what they are going to do in these swing states is take votes away from the party and could very well cost someone who you're sympathetic to generally the vote.
Going back even further, let's talk about the 1968 campaign. The Southern segregationist George Wallace ran for president as an independent that year. Here he is campaigning in California.
And if you go out of this building tonight and somebody knocks you in the head, the person who knocks you in the head is out of jail before you get to the hospital, and on Monday morning, they will try the policeman. They won't try the person who knocked you in the head.
Now, Wallace got more than 13% of the vote in a race that Republican Richard Nixon ended up winning. What about that third-party candidacy?
That was an important one. He also won several southern states. Mm-hmm. This is Vietnam is raging. There's intensifying conflict over civil rights issues like urban policy and crime. And Wallace tries to capitalize on this, and he plays to the white backlash, not just in the South, but in the North. And in some ways, he set a template that other candidates have followed, not just third-party candidates, but even some Republicans in terms of backlash politics. So that's one of those cases where the candidate loses, but some of his message continues right through today.
Why is our system set up so that it's difficult for third-party candidates to really be contenders?
Well, structurally, you have a winner-take-all system. So to get the Electoral College votes, you need to win the state. And third parties can't really compete with these massive mechanisms of the Democratic and Republican Party. So the winner-take-all system doesn't really favor third parties. And then most voters today are not genuinely independent. Even independents tend to lean to one party or the other. So there's not a lot of fans for this system.
Do you think that that should or could change in this country, that it would be easier for a third party to be a real player in a presidential election?
Not nationally. I think it's going to continue to be a way to just steal votes in swing states away from one of the major candidates. But at the local level, I think that's where you might see more third-party action. And you're seeing some of that. Even someone like AOC, who's received a lot of attention, benefited from the room that local politics provides to more eclectic candidates.
Do you think that Jill Stein made a difference as a third-party candidate in 2016?
Well, given the narrow victory that Trump enjoyed in states like Michigan, where she did attract votes, you can make the case that she helped open the doors to the Trump presidency.
That is Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University, talking with us about third parties in America. Ross Perot, who died yesterday at the age of 89, was famously the third party candidate back in 1992, got 19% of the vote. Julian, thanks as always.
Great to be with you.